This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
And there's a Johnny Ramos signing as well. Ramos. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday. We now know who the league's most valuable player is, and the league I'm talking about is the NBA. But will he be getting a new teammate? We'll be talking about that and a whole lot more over the next 3 hours. But it was no surprise last night as the NBA awards were handed out, Jonas, that James Harden was the league's most valuable player and Dwayne Casey coach of the year for his former team. So what a night it was for the NBA awards.
Yeah, just a lot of opportunities there for Dwayne Casey too. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. He could have done the old DX crotch chop, could have done a throat slash gesture, could have DDT'd the Toronto Raptors mascot, paid a little extra, had some guy dress up as a baby dinosaur, do something like that. Unfortunately, though, it was what we thought it was going to be, an award show, Bill Russell flipping off Charles Barkley, and no real surprises, Dano. Nothing really shocking about what happened last night.
I like when they blurred Bill Russell's middle finger. Like, oh my goodness.
Is that still, are you still not allowed to do that on television?
I know that there were some social media outlets that ended up blurring it because they wanted to keep it clean. That I just am like, all right, at some point, yeah, I mean, I know, but come on. Like, does it need to be blurred? Do you need to put a black box over it? I thought that was pretty ridiculous. It actually was probably the highlight of what the NBA awards were last night because it was just, it's an awkward, tough setting, especially when you're having athletes present and making it a TNT show. It's a tougher watch.
Is what it is. It sucks.
It's a tough watch. And in fact, James Harden's MVP speech was a tough listen. I don't know what the outfit was. Did have his mom up on stage, and it was nice. But the biggest part of what James Harden said last night didn't come in his speech as the MVP. It actually came afterwards when he met members of the media talking about the Houston Rockets' future. And that future could involve one LeBron James. Now, this was James Harden, not speaking specifically about LeBron, but speaking about the future of his Houston Rockets.
We were a half away from the finals. So I don't think there's a piece that we need to bring in or to take away. We're great with what we have from top to bottom, from front office to coaching staff to players, personnel. So our main focus is just getting better, getting healthier, and doing what we do.
That was James Harden last night, and he is 100% right. And this coming on the heels of a report from USA Today that says the Rockets will be going after LeBron James in free agency. For as much as we talk about LeBron James, Jonas, and where he might end up, Houston has been a topic of conversation. I just don't think Houston needs LeBron James. And I think the cost of adding LeBron James to that Rockets team would be way too much for them to give up. And it's not a value of a trade of what LeBron is and what the other players that you would lose are. It's the simple fact of what James Harden says. They were right there. If Chris Paul doesn't get hurt, they maybe are in the NBA Finals. That's how close they are. They aren't a superstar who something is the greatest player ever to ever have played away from making it to the NBA Finals. They are very, very close, and James Harden's on the mark.
Okay, I would agree with him if it wasn't for the fact that Chris Paul getting injured isn't a one-off situation. It happens all the time. You can't depend on that guy. We've seen that. You want to blame fluke, whatever. This many times it has happened. You can't trust him late in the season. That has been clear to everybody who's watched Chris Paul the last couple of years. And he's only getting older, and he's a smaller frame player, and we know how that works later in their careers. Guys like that, he's not exactly a guy who stands behind the arc and shoots threes. He wants the ball. He wants to be able to be physical. He wants to play defense. And his body's breaking down, and it breaks down at the end of the season like it always does. So James Harden, yeah, if it was a one-off situation and if it wasn't for this one injury, we don't need LeBron James because we would have beaten the Warriors. Yeah, but that's a routine. Like, that happens all the time. So I don't agree with him in that regard.
Where do you think that they should go then? Like, is it because I don't have a problem with the Rockets looking for a new point guard if you want to move on from Chris Paul as well. I just don't think this is a team that just needs to add LeBron James at the risk of losing Clint Capella, Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, and maybe even other pieces that you would have to end up giving. Those are the main ones. But when you are looking at how the Rockets team is built and how they were able to compete with the Golden State Warriors, I mean, Eric Gordon was great in that Western Conference Finals series. He was a big reason. You want to bring Clint Capella back. You want to bring Trevor Ariza back because they provided matchup situations with the Warriors that Golden State had a tough time dealing with. LeBron James isn't like the LeBron James isn't going to cure that. If you wanted to figure out the point guard situation, that is a different story. I would, because I don't believe playing Chris Paul $46 million in year five is good business. It's bad business. But if Houston could figure out a way to cure their point guard situation and not have it all on the health of Chris Paul, yeah, I'm all on board for that.
But I also think that what he's saying and what he wants are two different things. He is saying that because he's not going to be one of these fanboys like Joel Embiid to come out and go, come play for us, or he's not going to be Enes Kanter and you know, put LeBron's face on the Statue of Liberty and say, come to New York. Like, he's not going to do that stuff. That's just not his style. It's not who he is. So he's not going to beg publicly. But if LeBron James was there, of course he'd go along with the meeting. Of course he would welcome him in. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I don't think those guys have a bad relationship. And Chris Paul and LeBron are very close. So it's not that I think he views it, oh, we're too good for LeBron James. I just don't think publicly he's going to go celebrate him like a lot of these players have done around the league.
He's also the MVP. And with that comes arrogance.
Yeah, he's got it. Of course. Yes.
Yeah, so to think that if he would say, come out and say, hey, we need LeBron James, it would almost show a sign of weakness of this is, I'm not good enough to do this, or we're not good enough to do this. We need the greatest player in the NBA to come in here and save us, even though I'm the most valuable player. Yeah, that message doesn't sound well. I want people to think of LeBron James in a Rockets uniform and tell me how that works. Considering we have heard all along about how LeBron going to the Lakers wouldn't work with Lonzo Ball because LeBron needs the ball in his hands. Who needs the ball in his hands more than Chris Paul?
All right, yeah.
And who needs the ball in his hands maybe more than James Harden? Those two were able to make it work this season. Now you put LeBron James in there, it doesn't mix. It doesn't work out. I don't understand this fantasy basketball way of thinking on how the Rockets or anybody else would think that this is a great idea, even though he's the best player in the NBA, and adding LeBron James is just, what do you want? LeBron James spotting up for three in the corner? That just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's a little bizarre. Mike D'Antoni also, how does that work? I mean, LeBron, look, this is another routine to go along with Chris Paul and his body breaking down late in season. There's a couple other ones. Listen, James Harden has shown that his game fall off at certain times during the postseason. We've seen that to where, whether it's fatigue or whatnot, he wears down later in the season. The other one is this. LeBron James gets coaches fired, or at least wants to call his shots when it comes to, I want to go somewhere and I want my guy. You heard the report earlier this season that he went and met with Pat Riley when he first got to Miami and said, would you be willing to take over as head coach? Like, we didn't hear about all that, but we did this past season, so that was another example. We know what he did to David Blatt. So how does LeBron look at Mike D'Antoni and say, I can't do this run and gun at 33 playing every single game and no defense? I think he's too smart of a basketball player to see that and go, yeah, this is just going to work. There's a lot in the way of the Houston. Everyone tries to line it up. Oh, Chris Paul and him are friends. I have a lot of friends. I don't work with all of them.
But here's the deal with the Rockets. They actually do play defense with Jeff Bezdelic taking over the defensive part of what the Rockets are doing. They were top 10 in defense this past year in the NBA. The issue is, if you add LeBron and you take away Clint Capella and Trevor Ariza and all those other pieces, who is going to play defense? LeBron? Broken down Chris Paul? James Harden, who had the running joke of the night of him not playing defense on the night he wins the MVP? It's why it just doesn't make it. It doesn't mesh at all. And it reminds me so much, Jonas, of the 2004 Lakers of Shaq, Kobe, oh, Karl Malone. Yes, please. We'll add the best power forward in NBA history at that time. We'll add him. Gary Payton. Yeah, point guard. Yes, please. Let's add him. And then you see what happens when it gets to the NBA Finals and things can completely fall apart. That's what this smells of to me. It's not that the Rockets would be bad or it's just that they wouldn't be able to be great and they wouldn't be NBA champions. They would win games. They would make the playoffs. They'd make a run in the playoffs, but there's no way they would overtake Golden State. And that is the main objective right now in Houston.
The conversation, it's no longer a one-way conversation of I am a free agent, who wants me? Like, it's no longer that conversation anymore and everybody lining up. The conversation is now, at his age, with what he does, are we willing to gut our roster to bring him in? I mean, look, you can say what you want about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was an easier fit than LeBron James is because all you do is insert him and the guy's going to score 30 a game.
Yeah.
Period. He's an easier fit. Now you're bringing in a guy. I can't get over the age factor. I know he looked great in the postseason, but he also looked very worn down at times. You're bringing in a guy and everything that comes along with him, outside distractions, all of that. I just think it's now a deeper conversation of, hold on a second. We're not going to just insert him and everything's good here. It's a much deeper conversation, gutting the roster, trading away players. What do you do in the future? Because if you take a chance at this and you're Houston and you still can't beat Golden State, you're screwed for the next 15 years.
And one of the factors that we saw, the Kevin Durant signing that you mentioned with Golden State, that actually did rear its ugly head this year. When Andre Iguodala was out, they had zero depth. Like that was actually an issue that we saw that we never thought would be a problem. It's like, who needs depth when you have three of the top 15 players in the NBA plus Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala? All of a sudden we found out, okay, if Andre Iguodala's not there, now we've got to have these guys play 44 minutes a game, and we're relying on Sean Livingston and Quinn Cook and Jordan Bell to come in and save us. That depth wasn't there, and it showed its head with the Warriors this season. It would be even worse with the Rockets if LeBron ended up going to Houston.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now to talk NBA is our good friend from Yahoo Sports covering the NBA, Dan Devine, joins us here on Fox Sports Radio. Hey, Dan, how you doing on this Tuesday?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you guys?
We are doing well, fresh off the heels of an MVP for James Harden, and James Harden said last night he likes the way that his team is constructed. Now, there are reports today that the Rockets may go after LeBron James, and I'm just going to ask the question as it is, and you can take it however you want. Would LeBron James fit with the Houston Rockets?
I think yes, because I think at this point, the understanding sort of from all the main parties involved is if you want to really have the chance of competing with the Golden State Warriors, you need as much elite top-level talent as you can possibly get, and few people in terms of executives in the NBA have shown better equipped to fill out the roster around those sorts of top talents than Daryl Morey. His ability to find the role players that were sort of needed to facilitate the best version of the Rockets, you know, put them within a half of going to the NBA Finals, you know, knocking off the Warriors this year. And I think LeBron, you know, with his, you know, his basketball IQ, his ability to fill a variety of different roles, obviously he is, you know, sort of the alpha and omega of the team, but, you know, you've got guy, you know, he's shown a capacity to coexist alongside elite talents before. Harden and Chris Paul were able to find a way to coexist when a lot of people weren't sure that they were going to be able to do that this year. I would trust the talent to be able to work that out, you know, by the end of the season at least. But it would require some really significant restructuring of a roster that was pretty darn good last year. So a lot of questions that would arise from that, but I think you trust the talent and figure the rest out on the back end.
I was going to say, is it worth losing the difference makers that seem to be in that Western Conference Finals? I know they lost, but Gordon was great. Capella was a problem. Ariza does a lot of different things. That's my issue with it, Dan, is I know LeBron is better than those three guys. I get that. But losing, like, those pieces, it's so difficult for me to see on what gave the Rockets fits on how, or gave the Warriors fits on how that could benefit the Rockets.
I think that makes an awful lot of sense. If they don't wind up making this deal, if you know, for whatever reason, if LeBron decides that's not where he would prefer to go, you know, however it sort of works out, if the finances are not able to be constructed in the right way, to make it work, I still think the Rockets would head into next season, even if they just ran back this exact same team, feeling pretty comfortable about their chances of being able to, you know, get right back to the level they were at. You know, James Harden said last night after accepting his MVP award, you know, yeah, we were a half away from going to the finals. We don't really feel like we need to add much of anything. We feel like we're pretty good. You know, we're going to get another year of everybody being in the system, you know, everybody being together, and you know, we think we feel pretty good about that. You know, give them a healthy Chris Paul, give them a healthy Luke Mbamute. You know, that whole series could look a little bit different. So, I think the Rockets find themselves in good position sort of no matter what, but whenever you get the opportunity to have the audience with LeBron James or have the opportunity to bring him in, you have to try to capitalize on that opportunity. If for no other reason than ensuring you get him, make sure somebody else doesn't. And if you're looking to have the top line talent, the elite competition that you need, to be able to vie for a championship, that's one of those few players who can really move the lever for you. So I imagine Daryl Morey and his crew are getting as creative as they possibly can to figure out how they'll be able to make that work, while also ensuring there's some depth and the kind of quality role players they need to put around that core. But you get that bite at the apple, you got to go for it.
Dan Devine with us here on Fox Sports Radio from Yahoo Sports, covers the NBA. Dan Byer-Jonas knocks in for Doug Gottlieb. All right, no more messing around, Dan. I know you're holding out on us. Where's LeBron going? Seriously, I'm tired of playing games here.
I mean, certainly if there's anybody that's going to have that sourcing, it's me. It's crazy. I feel like, day by day, the odds sort of shift. And what makes this time a little more difficult is that it doesn't feel like there's a great answer one way or the other, right? There's no real perfect ready-made plug-and-play situation. If he goes to L.A. with the Lakers, we're hearing a variety of different things about whether or not the Spurs are going to be willing to move off of Kawhi Leonard. If they do move off of Kawhi Leonard, they're going to be willing to send him to any Western Conference team, let alone the Lakers, his preferred landing spot. We're hearing different things about Paul George's level of interest in staying in Oklahoma City. If there's not one of those sort of all-star, two-way caliber players that's going to L.A. with LeBron James, how attractive is that as a sort of rebuilding job right off the bat? Houston, as we just discussed, there's a lot of sort of roster management issues that you'd have to consider. Philadelphia is, there's a great young core there, the nucleus of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, but if you orchestrate that as sort of a sign-and-trade deal, a lot of young talent going out there, and then you have to deal with the fit issue of how LeBron works in alongside a non-shooting, ball-controlling big man at the point sort of forward position in Ben Simmons. There's kind of a lot of there's no real ready-made answers. And then there's, Cleveland as an option too. In the absence of something that's a little bit more, obvious than, staying home, getting kicking the can down the road a year maybe on another 1+1 deal. You make your max salary, and then you see what's sort of available to you next summer. That's a possibility as well. If I was a betting man, I would bet L.A. just because I think the idea of him sort of making that break, getting out to where you set up the last chapter of your career, what might be the last chapter of your career? Who knows how long you can keep playing like this? You set up everything for your post-career interests out there. You get your kids set up, in Southern California as they get on the prep basketball circuit, all that kind of stuff. I think that still makes a ton of sense. But at this point, none of it would surprise me because I don't think there's any sort of obvious one staring us in the face that gives him both the freedom to set up his life the way he wants and to, compete at an elite level without there being some complications to iron out.
Dan Devine covering the NBA for Yahoo Sports, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Jonas Knox. I'm Dan Byer in for Doug Gottlieb today on the Doug Gottlieb Show. The Rockets are proposing a switch of the draft and free agency in the NBA, meaning the free agency would come first and then the NBA draft. Do you think that would be a good idea for the association?
Well, I mean, selfishly, I think the prospect of pushing everything back to like August when everything wraps up, I don't need that, man. We need to get things done quicker so we can have a little bit of summer vacation. A little bit of one. It's becoming a 12-month-a-year sport. We need a little bit of a break. I think, to be honest with you, all of these things, every time these sort of proposals come up, they carry with them some unintended consequences that we don't see at the time. From a roster-building perspective, I think the idea of being able to, fill your needs in free agency could theoretically open the door to everybody just sort of being able to play, to pick best player available when you get to the draft, because you're not worried like, we're gonna leave, sort of a roster spot and some minutes open for X, Y, or Z rookie, because we know we've already got, we've built out our roster, so now we just try to get the highest caliber prospect we can. And then maybe that works out, you figure out the fit after the fact. But there are arguments to be made that teams wouldn't view it that way, or teams might not necessarily look to spend as freely in free agency because they think, well, we're going to find a lower cost option in the draft in 2 weeks. So rather than, splurge up front on, somebody that we're not positive might be a difference maker, we'll kind of keep our powder dry and then, use a draft pick on a lower salary level, to fill that spot. how that would work out for, you know, for the labor, how that would work out with general managers. I think anytime you give a general manager an option to spend money as fast as possible, they tend to do it. You know, if they have the chance to do it and the paycheck to, or the blank check to be able to do it, they're going to, you can't rely on rational actors in the market. We saw that a couple summers ago with the big cap spike, and all of a sudden Timofey Mozgov's making $64 million. Like, that kind of stuff, you know, you give them the opportunity, they're going to take it. So, to me, I wonder if it would have the intended result that, you know, the teams like the Rockets or other organizations would be looking for there. I also think it's pretty telling that the ones who in the early going seem to be suggesting it, you know, Zach Lowe reported that it was the Rockets, the Celtics are on board for this. Some of the other teams that have, like, really, really smart front offices, they're the ones that seem like they want to do it. I think maybe they're looking at it and saying, we think there might be some dumb front offices out there that we can take advantage of in this kind of situation. They're going to spend a bunch. We're going to find value and be able to build our teams more effectively. I think that's something we have to keep an eye on, too. But, change doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing, but I think maybe some more thinking about that would need to get done.
Dan Devine, Yahoo Sports NBA writer with us here on Fox Sports Radio. In for Doug Gottlieb at Stan Byer and Jonas Knox. All right, Dan, I grew up poor, so my mom taught me early on that you don't have to buy the name brand stuff. The store brand stuff, as long as it's the same ingredients, is $2 cheaper, and it's just as good. Who are we not paying attention to in NBA free agency? Who's a quality player out there that, because he's not a big name, because he's not name brand LeBron, Paul George, etc., that we're not paying attention to that could have a major impact next season in the NBA?
It's a really good question, and you know, I don't know about necessarily major impact, but a guy that I think we talked about with the Rockets, you know, those sort of second tier guys, you know, your PJ Tuckers, your Trevor Ariza's. A player that I wonder if he could have that kind of impact for another team, somebody maybe like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He played on a one-year deal for the Lakers this past year. He was with the Pistons the year before that. I decided to move off of him to bring in Avery Bradley, and they sort of shuffled up their roster. And Stan Van Gundy's gone, by the way, so that didn't work out all that well. But he's, you know, a shooting guard, legit 6'5", can shoot it a little bit, can attack off the dribble a little bit and create, can defend multiple positions. Everyone in the NBA is looking for wings with length that can move their feet, defend multiple positions, switch screens. A guy like that, maybe, you know, he's never going to be like a max caliber player, but if the market for those kind of wings, especially in a summer where not a whole lot of teams have a ton of salary cap space to spend, a guy like that might wind up getting some pretty low ball offers. And then if you're a team that's good, that could use some more depth on the wing, or a team that's one small forward shooting guard short, that's the guy you might be able to get on short money who, you know, might be able to replicate some of the production you might get from a more name brand caliber guy, but on in a better situation, you know, not asked to do as much for a lower salary. That might be a nice sort of fit, nice find for a team that's looking for some more help on the perimeter.
He's on Twitter at YourManDevine, covering the NBA for Yahoo Sports. He's Dan Devine. Dan, we appreciate the time and enjoy the next couple of weeks. Should be a dandy.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
Earlier today, the Los Angeles Lakers were introducing their new draft picks, but let's be real. The offseason really starts this week for a team like the Lakers that seem to be in on every free agent that there is, most notably LeBron James and Paul George. We touched on it yesterday that there are now Paul George to L.A. billboards all around Southern California and Los Angeles trying to entice the Palmdale, California native to come to the Lakers. Well, Magic Johnson, the Lakers president, was talking today with members of the media about the Lakers' upcoming offseason and really the offseason after that. This is what the Magic Man had to say.
No pressure on me. I'm going to do my job. I've always done that. You know me, finals I've been in. So you think I'm worried about this? I played against Larry Bird in the finals. I mean, come on, man. I've been in 9 finals. Been in college NCAA championship, you know? I'm Magic Johnson. I'm still the same dude. I'm not going to change. There's no pressure on me. I'm going to do my job. That's what I do. I do my job. I'm excited.
That was that was Magic Johnson today. As many people probably want to know, if LeBron James, Paul George, other players could be coming to the Lakers, I get a sense of, and I really do believe that they are going to land some big fish in free agency, whether it be this year or next year, Jonas. But there was some deflection in that of, changing the narrative to I'm Magic Johnson than actually dealing with the moves that have to take place.
Listen, he doesn't feel pressure. You want to know why? He might have one of the great jobs in all of sports. Because if he doesn't land LeBron James, guess what that means? Guess what that says about Magic Johnson? Nothing. He's still the greatest Laker of all time. It's no lose situation. There's no issue whatsoever with him if he's not able to land LeBron James this summer or they go in a different direction. That's why I said people assume that this is the same decision this time around that it was the other two times, and it's just not. A lot of these teams have options outside of LeBron James. I know everybody says the Lakers, that's the big fish. You've got to land Paul George. There's no pressure on Magic Johnson to land any of these guys. He's beloved in this town. He's had success in almost every other venture that he's gotten into, business. Well, I mean, the talk show didn't work out too well, and the head coaching stint didn't work out either. There's no pressure whatsoever.
They have nothing to lose, but they've got everything to lose. And if you want to use a cliche, like they don't have anything right now. They've got some pieces. They played well maybe the second half of the season. Maybe things were starting to turn around a little bit. But this isn't a team that can compete for a championship. So in that regard, you would say they don't have a lot to lose. But when you listen to this fan base that has been waiting for this offseason and the next offseason, and I'm one that felt when Magic Johnson took over as the president, Rob Pelinka came in as the GM, that the Lakers would be a top team in the Western Conference within 3 years for the simple fact of, Jonas, not that they would be great in the draft and get great value. Heck, they didn't even have a first-round pick until they swung the deal to get one this year from Cleveland. It was the fact that they were going to bring in guys. And I do think that they have a different advantage over the 29 other teams in that they're being connected to multiple guys, whether it be in 2018 or 2019. We aren't hearing that Kawhi Leonard wants to also play for the Utah Jazz or that he would want to go to the Chicago Bulls. What we hear is Kawhi Leonard would like to go to Southern California and preferably play for the Lakers. Paul George has always been a Lakers fan. LeBron James, kids going to school in L.A., more of the Lakers brand tied to the Lakers. Not all of those players are going, like there's not another team in the league that can be connected. So I think that the Lakers at least have more opportunities. But Magic knows what's on the line. He even went on to say that I would step aside after 2 years if I can't land anybody, because what's the point of being Magic Johnson, president of the Lakers, if you can't bring in any of these big fish that you've got available, whether it be in free agency this summer or free agency next summer?
Do you think, I know the tampering stuff has been talked about. He already got popped. What, it was $50,000 he got popped. Apparently they gave strict orders to people in the organization not to tamper because they don't want to deal with that. Do you think, though, that he has had some sort of dialogue or conversation with either LeBron James or Paul George? Because I do.
Yeah, I would... At least representatives, if it's not directly with those. But, yeah, I do believe so.
I mean, whether it be a FaceTime or something. I mean, who knows? However he did it. I think he's got to feel at least somewhat confident that they land one of this. But to your point, we've been hearing this for 5 years. And we've been hearing about, oh, this is the guy, hashtag future Laker. That's a guy who the Lakers are looking after, whether it was DeMar DeRozan or all of these guys. And the only consistency within the Laker organization over the past 5 years is every single night that the draft lottery is on during the conference finals, the last five times we've watched it, the deputy commissioner opens up a white envelope and pulls out a Laker card. That's what we've seen. That's what's been consistent for the Lakers. But I don't think if they don't land this that all of a sudden all the pressure is on Magic Johnson and he's a failure. How much does he actually do there with the organization, or is he just a face and a name?
I think the value of him is more of the face and name. And I think that his connections are well rooted, so it's a good guy to have on your side. But in the end, when you're bringing these guys in, I think being Magic Johnson, as he says there, is a big deal. Remember, those five lotteries or whatever it was, they're not on his watch. That's a Jim Buss, Mitch Kupchak sort of thing. And when we heard how much the Lakers botched the LaMarcus Aldridge meeting or what they did previously, whether it's bringing Kobe with the meeting to pitch to the free agents, it's a completely different feel than what you had previously with Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak. So when you have Pelinka, who is a former agent who has enough connections, you have Magic Johnson, that to me is much more player superstar friendly. So while it is the Lakers, and I think there's legitimacy to what you're saying with the fan base being angry over being in the lottery that much, and that's why it's important, I don't think you could pin that on Magic Johnson and say this is the same old Lakers, because it's not, because it is a different regime, and a regime that I think has a much more better chance at landing these bigger fish that I think they will eventually do so. I think it's going to be Paul George, and I think it's going to be LeBron James. And the only thing that has now been tricky is, oh, Kawhi Leonard is available. Well, which way do we want to go? Because all three maybe just wouldn't fit in L.A.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now to talk some baseball here on Fox Sports Radio, our good buddy from the USA Today, Bob Nightingale, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Hey, Bob, thanks so much for coming on.
Sure, my pleasure.
Good to talk to you again. And as we sit here and we near the midway point of the Major League Baseball 2018 season, I'm having a hard time thinking that any team in the American League is going to be able to break through and knock off any of the five that would be in the playoffs right now. Do you see any chance where we wouldn't see the Red Sox and Yankees, Indians, Astros, and Mariners not making the playoffs this fall?
The only team I think would be in semi-jeopardy or a chance not making it would be Seattle. You know, the Angels got hot, something like that. But I'm with you. I mean, the Angels would have to get hot. Maybe Otani comes back and DHs the rest of the year. Otherwise, I'm certainly with you on the other four teams.
Bob Nightingale with us here on Fox Sports Radio covers Major League Baseball for the USA Today. Bob, where's LeBron going? I'm kidding.
He's got to go to the Lakers, right? He's got a home in L.A. I'm going Lakers.
Listen, you know as much as anybody else about where he's going. We have no idea. We're all just speculating at this point. Give me a team right now, and you can be a killjoy to a certain fan base who's really hot, people are excited about, that you just don't see continuing this even into the postseason.
You know, probably the National League is weaker this year than the American League. So I think it's going to depend on that trade deadline. You know, the two teams that better step it up are the Chicago Cubs and Washington Nationals. These two teams and high hopes, everything else. You know, Nationals are very loaded. It's like if they don't wake up here, they're going to miss the playoffs. You know, and then as far as maybe a new team, it's like people getting excited. Atlanta, you know what they have, 3.5 game lead. I don't see it continuing. I just think that at some point teams start to pass them up. And I just don't think Atlanta will do something stupid and say, you know what, we're going to go for this thing and trade away prospects and give up in the future.
In that division, in that NL East, are the Braves more likely? I know you said that they're a team that could collapse, but would they be more likely to win that division if the Nationals don't pick it up? Because the Nationals were blanked again today. We had a conversation yesterday about their hitting and the issues that they're having as well. Would the Braves be able to sustain just because the Nationals aren't? Or are the Phillies, I guess should be my question, are the Phillies a legitimate threat to Atlanta at the top of that division?
I'll go with the Phillies just in the sense where I think they'll be more aggressive at the deadline. I think they're in the mode to go for this thing, where I could see them, you know, maybe getting a Manny Machado, going in there getting her a starter, where I think Atlanta's going to be more patient and saying, you know what, we're a couple years ahead of schedule here. Let's maybe contend next year, and this year's been a bonus. I don't see Atlanta making those big aggressive trades, but I see the Phillies doing it.
Bob, I saw this on USA Today, just in the Luke Heimlich situation out of Oregon State. For people that aren't familiar with it, he's the pitcher for Oregon State, very talented, but he pled guilty to sexually assaulting his niece when he was a teenager. And so because of that, teams have stayed away from him, even as talented as he is. What's the latest on that situation? I know he has since denied it and said nothing happened. Kind of an uncomfortable discussion, but what are you hearing from Major League scouts around baseball?
Yeah, he actually starts tonight for Oregon State in game one of the finals. Certainly, if not for what happened or didn't happen, he would have been drafted the first round last year, would have been probably drafted in the second round this year. You know, everybody's very afraid of this. You know, it's like the the way this country is, and fan base, corporate sponsors, what have you, they're afraid to sign him. Kansas City Royals came out, last week and said we're exploring it. They're the first team to at least say that. I noticed that we have one National League team was very serious about drafting him and got approval from ownership, but yet didn't do it. And I'm not sure what happened there. So, you hate for this to be a death sentence for the guy, but no one's going near him. And I don't know if that changes in time. I also don't think it helped his, chances of getting signed by coming out and denying that. I think he would have been better off to say, I'm going to be an advocate for this thing. I'm going to donate such and such money to different programs. I'm not sure denying it was the right thing to do, particularly because he signed guilty agreement.
Bob Nightingale of USA Today covering Major League Baseball joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Find him on Twitter at @BNightingale. He's Jonas Knox. I'm Dan Byers. We are in for Doug Gottlieb here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. When you look at the issues Major League Baseball has had attendance-wise, and numbers I know are down in the ballparks, is that to do with this new baseball that we're seeing with a high amount of strikeouts but a high amount of home runs? It seems home run or bust. Is it TV? What is the issue with Major League Baseball in not drawing attendance and getting fans to the ballpark, and how can this change for the league?
Well, I think it's a product of just the game, kind of deteriorating. We're going 3 minutes and 45 seconds in time before we see a ball put in play. 34% of the time, strikeout, walk, or home run. And I think the game can be boring. You're not seeing the hit runs. You're not seeing steals, that sort of thing. Granted, baseball's still making money. People are watching TV, mm-hmm. even though TV ratings are down as well. And, and what we discussed earlier is that, the parity in baseball, take the American League, 15 teams in American League. It's almost like, we already know what 5 teams are in the playoffs right now. So if your team's out of contention, why bother showing up the ballpark? And we're not even at the All-Star break yet.
Bob, with what we're seeing Mike Trout do this year, where does it stack up for you historically from players you've watched in all your time covering baseball?
And it's fun to watch. It's almost old school. He's not going to break a home run record. He's not going to hit, 400. So it's not getting that kind of national appeal like we used to see. It's not a Bonds-esque type year, what he used to do with over 200 walks and over, 73 home runs type thing. But yet, it's just a kind of an old school baseball where he's doing a little bit of everything. Singles, walks, doubles, triples, playing great center field. So he's almost like you put him back in the Mickey Mantle usual type days. And people forget how great Albert Pujols was in St. Louis. I mean, Pujols, he was doing this every single year, but he was a first baseman. He was a Gold Glove first baseman and not a center fielder.
It's funny, as Bob Nightingale joins us here on Fox Sports Radio, a couple of weeks ago we were talking about this, and I said to the guys, you try to come up with different angles and look at things differently in sports talk radio, and I thought about trying to compare Mike Trout in his prime to Albert Pujols in his prime. And it's tough to compare anybody to Albert Pujols in his prime. In your years of covering baseball, was Albert Pujols the best offensive player that you witnessed during your time, or is there another player or other players that stand out?
I also go Barry Bonds. I mean, Bonds is the greatest player I've ever seen. What he did was unbelievable. I covered a lot of the Giants games that year when he hit 73 home runs. He could hit 95 home runs if he got any pitches to hit. Just completely changed the game. And I will say, with Pujols, break in like that, I never seen a guy, break in and just, take over the league from day one of his rookie season through whatever it was, year 8 or 9 with mm-hmm. the Cardinals. I've never seen something like that at the beginning of a career. Obviously, Bonds was great, but became, one of the greatest players of all time at the end of his career because he kept going. People forget how great Pujols was. They really do. I mean, people talk about Mike Trout's numbers, like you said. It's like, wait a minute, now look at Albert Pujols' numbers. Pujols' numbers are actually better.
Yeah, it's absurd. I mean, it really is, as you said, from the gun of when he came in at, 20, 21 years, or however old he was at that time, to see the success that he had in the numbers, and it just wasn't a 3-year stretch. It was a good 10 years with the Cardinals. It was amazing.
Yeah, and he's winning World Series, you know, with it too. You know, talking about two World Series titles, and he only broke into starting lineup because Bobby Bonilla had a pulled hamstring. He may not have made the opening day roster that year.
Bob Nightingale, a last one for me here. He covers the Major League Baseball for USA Today. Has there been any talk from people you have spoken with about whether or not this is it for Mike Scioscia? I mean, he's been there a long time. They've got a lot of talent. Do you see the organization at one point just saying, listen, we've got to do something to try and stack on more wins here. We've added big-time free agents. We've got Mike Trout in his prime. We don't want to blow this.
You hear different things. I mean, obviously, Mike Scioscia, you know, should be a Hall of Fame manager. You don't know what's going to happen in this year. Do they, you know, move him upstairs? Does he want to go upstairs, or would he prefer to keep managing and go to a different organization? You know, does Billy Epler want his own guy? I think it kind of depends on what happens in the last couple of months, what they decide to do here. It'd be interesting. I mean, obviously, the Angels not making the playoffs, certainly not Mike Scioscia's fault. They've had a million injuries and everything else. Like I said, I think he's going to Cooperstown as a manager. But, you know, they may want some fresh blood in there. Who knows?
Final one for Bob Nightingale, and of course I'm going to be selfish. Lorenzo Cain placed on the DL for the Brewers. I know things haven't gone as well as they did at the start of the year. Still with the best record in the National League, tied with the Atlanta Braves. Does Milwaukee have enough, and do you see them making a deal before the July 31st trade deadline?
I see him making a deal. I really do, if not two. You know, they have a very aggressive owner, Mark Antanasio, who lives in L.A. You know, you don't make these moves by getting Yelich and, Lorenzo Cain and just sitting back. I think he would absolutely love to knock off the Cubs. And they've been a very consistent team. So I think they will be aggressive at the deadline. I really do.
Starting pitching? Like Cole Hamels, or what do you
think? I love Cole Hamels there. I don't think it costs that much to get him except for just his contract. And I think for Hamels to go back into the National League, where it's, you know, much easier to pitch, I think he'd be good there. Plus, he's got the playoff experience and everything else. I think they need a veteran guy like that. I think Hamels is a perfect fit and not much of a cost as far as prospects.
Cole Hamels, one of my favorite, as is Bob Nightingale, columnist for the USA Today covering Major League Baseball. Find him on Twitter at @BNightingale. Thanks, Bob. We'll do it again soon.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.